The message I want to share tonight, it's a portion of scripture that I read recently that just kind of jumped out at me and just started ministering to me. And I'm just going to take one verse out and just kind of apply it to what I feel the Lord has for us here tonight and for the congregation. So, but it's an amazing story from start to finish. And just to sketch a bit of background, it's when the Israelites were taken captive, when Jerusalem was attacked and destroyed and plundered, most of them killed, and most of the Israelites killed the Jews. And then they were taken, there was a remnant taken to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and they were over there in exile. They were taken captive to work for the Babylonian kingdom there. And that was a period of 70 years. And, you know, throughout the Old Testament, you know, God chose a people to reveal His glory through and to make Himself known to the whole world. And He chose the Jewish nation to do that through. And the Jews loved the Lord, but they were like hot and cold. And then they would steer away from the Lord again and start worshiping false gods and idols and so forth. And, you know, the Lord was so patient throughout. But then, you know, when they would get a bad leader that would lead them in a wrong direction again, then the Lord would have to kind of start from scratch all over again and raise up someone to lead them back to the Lord and to destroy all the temples and idols that the people had erected. Anyway, and it came to be that Nebuchadnezzar, as an enemy of the Jews, was raised up to eventually bring the Jews back to God and to create that opportunity. And so there was that battle. The Jews went off into exile. 70 years later, in the first year of his reign, King Cyrus of Persia received a mandate from God to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And so he said, now all the Jews that want to repatriate back to Jerusalem, they can go along. And so there was a first group that went along, and Ezra, you can read about that in Ezra. He went along with the first group. He's a teacher and very prophetic as well. And they went and they rebuilt the temple, and they restored all the temple implements and so on that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen, and the gold and the silver and the bronze, all those tools and implements of the priests that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen. They restored that. Anyway, and then came the time when over time, more and more Jews started returning to Jerusalem. And then with the last group that returned, along went Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah, just the book after Ezra, and you can read there how he went along with that last group, and he got to Jerusalem, and what he saw was that the wall was all broken down, and, you know, I mean, it just looked like a fallen city, like a city that was destroyed and everything. And he had it in his heart to rebuild the wall. And, you know, the Lord gave him favor, and the Lord gave him authority, and he spoke to the guys, and he convinced them to start rebuilding the wall, that this would be a focus point for them. And the verse that I want to read for us is from Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. Before I do read that, at the time when Jerusalem started being rebuilt again, all the enemies of the Jews, they didn't like what they were seeing. Okay, and you can just, they group together all the A's, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, okay? Now, they didn't like, so the A-team didn't like what was happening in Jerusalem. Okay, so what they set out to kill the Jews, and they set out to ambush the Jews and to kill them, and the Jews received word of this, and so the people were very afraid. Yeah, we are on the outskirts building the wall, but behind us there are people lying in ambush waiting to kill us. Okay, they don't like us, and they don't want to see Jerusalem rebuilt. Now, this is what Nehemiah encouraged the people with at that time. In verse 14, I looked, it's Nehemiah speaking, and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, to Amal, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Okay, I'm just going to read that section again. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. You saw the title of the sermon, Man Up. Now that's kind of an American expression, which you might have heard in movies and so on. And you guys all know what it means. It's like, you know, step up to the plate. Don't shy away. Come and present yourself. Take up the battle. Don't shy away. Be brave. Be courageous. You know, and for the men, be a man. For the ladies, be brave and courageous. Okay. Man up. Step up to the plate. What would they say in South Africa? Wat is 'n Afrikaanse term daarvoor? Anyone? Staan jou man. Ja. Vat vas, papi. Gooi milies. Nou praat ons. Okay. Now, just a few lessons that I want to take out of that portion of scripture. But firstly, the first point is Nehemiah came and he saw the walls and he said, this is a disgrace. It is a disgrace that the people of God have a city with walls that are broken down and in rubble and everything. These walls need to be rebuilt. Again, and what I'd like to remind us is that well-known saying, first the natural, then the supernatural. Because often, as good charismatic Christians, we get it the other way around. We do things the wrong way around. We are yes and amen and hallelujah for all this, the, you know, and we just want to, and this is good. We need to prophesy and have words of knowledge. And we need to see, to want to see the sick healed and all of these things supernaturally by the power of God through prayer and nothing else. We want to see that happen as well, okay? But first the natural in place. And we spoke about a few weeks ago, when we had the message on loving ourselves, because many of us struggle with that. But the Bible, you know, Jesus says that we must love our neighbor as ourselves. I don't want to receive your love if you don't even love yourself. I don't want to be loved the way you love yourself, okay, if you don't love yourself. So we need to get certain things in place. And I spoke about loving yourself practically, looking after spirit, soul, and body. And how do you do that? Looking after your body, exercise, eat healthy, look after your soul. This is your mind and so on, by feeding your mind. Like Pietri said, if we're not learning, then you're going backwards. Because guess what? The rest of the world's going forwards. And when it comes to God, Jesus is moving. He says signs and wonders will follow those who believe. You've got to be moving as well. Jesus is moving. And he moved from one town to the next. And he ministered to 5,000, and maybe 500 followed him to the next town. And to the town thereafter, maybe only 50 followed him. The longer you stay following, the longer you stay moving, the more you're getting, the more you're growing. And we've got to keep learning in everything we do. We've got to keep, all of us, keep learning about God, keep learning about our work and all these kind of things. You have to engage your mind. It's so cool. Often you see people doing security work and so on, and they're just sitting there most of the day. Now you see some of them just sitting there, nothing, not even listening to the radio, nothing. It's just sitting there. And then you get others, and you see this guy's reading a book, you know, or he's studying something, and that's encouraging to see. He's feeding his brain, because otherwise that is quite a mind-numbing work, and it will breed depression in you. So we need to keep learning. And then obviously feeding your spirit through the reading of the word, through spending time with God, through reaching out to other people with the gospel. The Lord will feed you, because then it's not like that dead sea, that stagnant water. But when there's an outflow as well, there must be an inflow. But the dead sea's got an inflow, but doesn't have an outflow. But now the Lake of Galilee has an outflow as well. And that water is alive and vibrant with fish and so on. And there's life there. And so we need to be like that. We need to have a place where we receive, but also to give. That's how we minister to our spirit as well. Okay, so these are just basics. And that's what I want to say, is that we must get the basics right before we expect the Lord to come through mightily and come and do everything. We need to get off the couch. We need to get out of the comfort zone. No couch potato Christians. We need to make sure the basics are right. We mean the Lord, some people say, and you can, there's an element of truth in that the Lord helps those who help themselves. Okay. So the Lord demands our cooperation. Salvation is a process. And you only say it for as long as you're continuing to cooperate with the Lord. Because at various points, the Lord is going to be asking you to do stuff. And if you're not doing that stuff, then you're walking in disobedience and continued disobedience and sin. I'm afraid you can lose your salvation. Okay. Because you are choosing to walk away. You are choosing to deliberately walk in a different direction. And you're not repenting of that. Okay. So the Lord demands our cooperation. But the good news is it's mos nie moeilik om vir die Here te vertrou. It's mos nie moeilik om vir die Here te volg nie. He just wants us to get up and go. He will give us the strength to do it. He will show us what to do. He does all the hard work. I had that picture a few weeks ago of the truck and the cycling analogy. When you cycle behind someone just on their wheel, you're saving 30%, over 30% of your energy. And it's like the Lord is like this truck just going at the right speed. You can just sit on the back of that truck with your bicycle and you're almost freewheeling the whole way. But you have to get on the bicycle to get behind that truck. Now, some of us, our bicycles are dusty and in the garage, and we need to get on that bicycle, okay? Wim Philip, amen. 1 Corinthians 13, that's basically what I wanted to highlight from there. You know, in verse 1, if I prophesy, if I speak with tongues of angels, whatever, all of these spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, I can operate in all of those, but if I don't have love, if you don't have the basic foundation, the right motivation, then it's just as good as what you stay at home and rather do nothing. Because then you're actually just empty, clanging brass. You're not doing the Lord any favors. So let's not hallelujah and amen when we're not prepared to follow through. You know, and we come to church and we sing amazing God-inspired worship songs. I mean, these songs that we sing, the modern ones, are just as anointed and blessed as the old psalms and hymns of 50 years ago. They're inspired by God, truly. We go through effort in terms of choosing the songs that we sing in church. Gryp nie sommer enige ou se woorde en liedjies en so aan nie. We have people that are dedicated to choosing a set list of music that we sing in church. And we sing specific songs on Sundays for specific reasons and so on. So it's not just a sing-along or a sing-song. Soos wat ons by die skole gehad het. Dis nie hierdie werksaam, flee. Dis nie die ding nie, flee, fly. Okay, dis niks van die goed nie. Okay, these are specific. The words have meaning. And when it comes from the heart, you are ministering to God. And you're allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you as well when you open to God. It's not just singing along with the rest of them. This is ministry that happens. And when we tap into that time of praise and worship, man, people can get healed in praise and worship. People can get saved in praise and worship. Amazing things can happen. So we clap our hands and we sing hallelujah and we raise our hands. But, you know, if that first thing is not in place, if we're not actually meaning what we're singing, or if we don't have that foundation, if we don't get the basics right, we can't expect the supernatural. So Yah was near mine. He was coming and he saw the city and he's like, let's get the basics right. Let's establish a foundation. Let's first build the wall around the city. Let's do first things first. Keep the main thing. Okay, you've heard it all before. So there they were, and they're building the wall. First the natural, then the supernatural. Next. Now I'm going to just zoom in on that scripture, verse 14 that we read a moment ago. And first it tells them, do not be afraid. don't fear. They had every reason to be afraid. More than one nation rising up against them, intent on killing them. They know exactly where they are, and they know exactly what they're doing. And they were coming for them. And Nehemiah says, don't be afraid. Okay, now, for most people, that would probably fall on deaf ears. It's like, are you crazy? Of course I can be afraid. These people are coming to destroy. You want me to build a wall when people want to come and kill me? And maybe some of us can identify with that. You know, the Lord is telling us or asking us something, but it's just not convenient for us right now because there's some more important things, personal stuff that I need to first work through this, and then I can start, Lord, then I can do what you say. Then I can start serving. I first need to sort myself out here or whatever it might be. Okay, I'm not contradicting what I said just now. That principle holds true. All right. What I'm saying is we cannot be afraid. Fear can never be our motivation as a Christian. You know, and as you grow in the Lord and your outward sin, your deliberate sin, the sins of commission that everyone can see on the outside, as you grow in the Lord, that kind of gets less and less. Those are the first thing to fall off, the different addictions and this and this. As we grow in our faith, we start realizing as the Lord continues to minister to us that the Lord starts opening our eyes to the sins of omission, maybe the times when the Lord asks us to do specific things and then we don't do it. No one else can see that we're sinning, but we know that we are sinning because the Lord has asked us and we've said no. Okay? And then also in the area of our motivation. A lot of stuff that we do in the name of the Lord, we actually do for our own gain and benefit as well. And the Lord will test our motivation. And so, we need to make sure one of the main motivations for humans today is fear. For instance, Islam, that is the main motivation for them to serve Muhammad's purposes. Fear motivation. That's why when you minister to a Muslim, the main thing, your main approach and angle is love, one of love. You show them a God of love. You show them the love of Christ. His evidence and proof of love, dying on the cross. And that ministers to that Muslim. And it takes a while for them because they're so rooted and grounded in fear from such a young age. Plus, the additional fear from if they were to convert, their family will most likely kill them. Especially, obviously, in the Middle East and so on, where they're more devout. So, fear motivation. But that's not just at play in the Islamic world. If we allow the Lord to search our hearts, we'll identify areas where we are motivated by fear as well. But this can't be so. Remember Jesus in the boat with a storm. And he was sleeping. And the disciples woke him up. And they're like, oh, we're going to perish. We're going to die. And he first speaks to the wind and the waves and everything's calm. And they're like, wow. And he's like, what did he say to them? Why are you afraid? Are you of little faith? Okay, faith is the opposite of fear. So we need to respond in faith. We need to respond in faith. And this is what Nehemiah tells them. He says, don't be afraid. Look to the Lord. Remember the Lord. He's encouraged them to act in faith. Remember the Lord. Remember what? Remember what the Lord has done. The Lord who is great and awesome. If you go and read through Exodus and Leviticus and so on, how many times do you read there? And when the Israelites are in the desert and they're wanting to lose hope and so on, how many times Moses would tell, remember the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Remember what he did, the Lord your God who opened up the Red Sea. This awesome and mighty God, don't lose hope now. He's got a plan for us. We never need to lose hope. As Christians, we are encouraged to respond to any circumstance in faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So it's the easiest thing is to by sight, these oaks are coming to kill us and we're wanting to build a wall. Are we crazy? You know, surely there's other stuff we could be doing now. Let's do the wall a bit later. I mean, how many of us are like that with the Lord? Lord, you asked me to go, you know, and you asked me to go and sow into this ministry or that ministry or whatever, or to bless that person. But Lord, I might not make it at the end of the month. And the Lord is like, you know, because you're there with a budget and it doesn't add up. You don't have to apply any faith in your finances if your budget actually adds up. You don't need to trust the Lord for anything. You sit with a budget that doesn't add up. Your living expenses exceed your income. Now you've got to apply some faith. The Lord wants us to work by faith. I'm not saying you must incur unnecessary expenses to test your faith. But if yours adds up very comfortably, you should give more away. You know, CS challenged us once. He's like, you know, your food budget for the month, give it all away and trust God for food. That's a good challenge. And then you start thinking, well, I can fast for a week. And some of us need to do stuff like that. Obviously, if the Lord says so, you listen to Him. But when the Lord says something like that and in the natural it doesn't add up, don't tell Him, no, Lord, you know, it's just not going to work. Because the Lord expects us to live by faith. Do not be fear motivated. So often we are motivated by fear. And this counters what the Lord wants to do in our life. It nullifies the power of God in our life and the ability of God to be able to use us. We need to respond by faith. As a believer, there is always hope. We have a cause to live for that is greater than ourselves. So when things are going tough with ourselves, don't think that the cause is Damia Yin. No. You know what? God's plan will never fail. Remember, His ways are above ours. His thoughts are above ours. All you can see now is the trouble that you're in, the mess that you find yourself in. But let me tell you, God has a perfect way to get you out of that mess and to even use that mess and turn it into a message, as they say. All right? We need to start trusting God. Do not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. The previous one, sorry. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Power, love, and self-control. Perfect love casts out all fear. And you've got power and you've got self-control. You've got the qualities of Jesus there. Meekness. Power under control. We don't need to go off. What do they say? The quickest way through a storm is straight through. You find yourself in a storm. You don't need to lose control and start saying, you know, panic mode. What must I go? Turn left, turn right, go in circles. Just keep going. Keep staying faithful to the way you've been serving the Lord. Don't make drastic decisions or changes. Don't make decisions based on your emotions and how you feel. We got to walk by faith, and it's so important when you're going through a crisis to operate in faith. Then you invite God in, and God can do anything. He can move mountains. He can do anything. No, there's no challenge too big for Him. Even if it's way too big for you, it's still very small for God. And when we operate in faith, we invite God into the situation. Don't be afraid. You have a future and a hope. That's what the Lord is saying. You have a future and a hope, Jeremiah 29. And you know, when we suffer, I'm still on point two. When we suffer, the Lord has a redemptive purpose with all of this. Now, the suffering that we go through, more often than not, it's not the Lord's intention for us to even go through the suffering. Some challenges He does bring across our path to strengthen us. But more often than not, the suffering, it's because we have an enemy who's out to get us. Because we remind Him of God, we're created in God's image, and He hates God. He wants to destroy us and hold that against God. Now, the Lord says we must rejoice in the hope of the glory of God in Romans 5. And we must rejoice even, it says more than this, rejoice in your suffering, because suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. And that hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. We know God will come through. And so even when we're going through a tough time, the Lord will turn that around for us. The Lord will turn that around. We do not need to be afraid, because the Lord is always with us, and He can turn around the toughest situation. So it will, at the end of the day, even count in our favor, it will benefit us, because the Lord will use that tough time to make you stronger. After you've gone through a trial, you are so much stronger than before. And the Lord is more interested in our character than in our comfort. So He allows certain things to happen, and He chooses not to intervene, because He knows we're going to make it through, and He will use it for our benefit, to strengthen us. But in most cases, He was not the author of that. The Lord is not the author of sickness and disease and pain and death and so on. He created us to be with Him, to have eternal life, to enjoy a life in the Spirit is one of love and peace and joy. The bad stuff around us, the one who designed that, the one who brought that upon us, Satan. John 10:10, the thief is not here except to kill, to steal, and destroy. I've come to give life in abundance. Okay, so we don't have to fear, there's hope. Remember the Lord, he says after that. Remember the Lord. Remember what the Lord your God, what He has done. He's great and awesome. He's the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. That is why we have testimony nights like last week. We need to remember this God. We need to remember He's real and He's working in our lives. We're not just preaching here from a book and wow, it's amazing learning about God and gaining knowledge about who He is and what is the promises that He has made. But it's building our faith when we actually recognize He's true to those promises. He is working in our lives. These people, we know people God has done this for. Amazing. That is our God. Remember the Lord your God. That is who we look to first and foremost in a time of trouble. What do you do when you have a headache? Do you first run for the Panado, or do you first say a prayer? What's easier? What's cheaper? Okay, what do you think the Lord would want to do? Now, nothing wrong with if you prayed and it didn't go away. There's, oh no, I just don't have enough faith. I better suffer with this headache. Nothing wrong with popping a pill after that, but the best pill is the gospel. Okay, first pray. First pray. How many times, Charlene, you can give me an amen. Have I prayed for you? You've had a headache or a sore back or something. I prayed for you and it's like instantly gone. Better. You can speak to her. She's nodding her head. Okay. It's so much better. No, I'm not. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. It's for everyone. Remember the Lord your God. You know, we need to go to Him for strength. We need to go to Him to recharge. And it's like servicing your car. You have to do it at regular intervals if you want to make sure your car's not going to break down somewhere down the line. You've got to do it regularly. When it comes to recharging with the Lord, remembering the Lord, looking to God, that's an everyday thing. That's an everyday thing. You're not going to look to God first thing in a crisis if you don't have a habit of doing it regularly anyway, crisis or no crisis. It needs to become a habit in our lives. Every day we spend some time with God. Every day we're praying. Every day we got some scripture in our mind. Every day. Every day with God. So it becomes second nature. It becomes a habit. We start realizing more and more we're spiritual beings. We're not just a body with a mind. We are spiritual beings created for eternity. And so when the pawpaw hits, middle of the day, end of the day, just after breakfast, whatever, your first instinct, Your first reaction is to go to God. Because you're so aware that He is there. He's with you all the time. And so, a believer, there's no need for us to be in a flat spin or in panic mode for any long period of time. I mean, it happens, we're normal, so we do experience all emotions. We will experience emotions of being afraid, but we don't have to continue in that emotion. We can immediately, when we recognize something's happened, and you know, the natural human instinct is now to panic or to be afraid. And you'll experience some of those feelings welling up and so on, but you don't need to receive it. You don't need to stay stuck in that place. You go to God and you start speaking God's word over it. And that's why we've got to know God's word. And you start speaking God's word, because when you bring God's truth into the situation, that changes everything. You know, the facts say a man cannot walk on water. The truth says if Jesus calls you, you can walk on water. Truth overrides the natural. So we want to get with the truth. We want to speak that into our situation. We need to know God. It must be second nature. Our relationship with God must be the most important relationship in our life. So when you're in a panic station, you pray before you phone your wife or your husband. You first talk to God. And He will honor you for that. You put God first and He honors you. And you can trust your God. You can trust your God. He loves you. He gave His all for you. He died for you on the cross. Why wouldn't He help you out of a sticky situation? Together with His only Son, He has given us all things that we need. Everything. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Every good and perfect gift. Come on, we read in the Gospels, even an earthly father, the word says, being evil, I mean, compared to God, we are evil, knows how to give good gifts to his children. We know how to give good gifts. If my son asks for a bread, I'm not going to give him a stone, like the word says. I'm not, and I'm not God. But guess what? The Bible says, how much more will your heavenly Father, how much more will He not give you what you need? How much more will He not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He will give you anything. He'll give you what you need. He will give you what you need. Remember the Lord. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. When the pawpaw hits, you need a strong tower. The righteous man runs to it. He doesn't just try and sort out the pawpaw. He first runs to the strong tower, and there he's safe. Okay. Sorry, I know it doesn't say anything about pawpaws there. So like a vrug die. Okay. So we need to learn. That must become our new. That must be our true north. That must be our first port of call, is running to the Lord. And when you run to the Lord, it's not a sign of weakness or anything. It's a sign of faith. It's a sign of faith. And when you do that, you're tapping into a strength that no man has on this planet. You're tapping into a bottomless strength, an unending source of strength when you run to the Lord. Remember the Lord. Like I said, it's so encouraging to have these testimony nights, and just where we get reminded of God's faithfulness. You know, and as we read in Revelation 12, verse 11, we overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Okay, that is powerful. It's powerful when the enemy comes in to steal and to cause nonsense in our lives. When we counter that in faith, by going to God first, by applying the victory that Christ gained for us on the cross through His blood, when we remember the Lord, when we remember the testimony, what He has done in our lives and His faithfulness, and when we respond in faith, that is when we gain the victory. That is when we gain the victory. It's so important. We need to get this right. We need to realize, you know, what is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 6 gives us a clue. It says that having faith means believing that God is who He says He is, and that He'll do what He says He will do. That is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we need to believe that, you know, many of us, we believe that God is who He says He is. A lot of us don't have a problem with that. But more of us struggle to take God at His word, that He will do what He said He will do. The promises of God, the thousands of promises of God in the word, where He says, you know, come to me and ask me for this or ask me for that and I will do it, you know. But we don't apply that in life. We struggle to believe that sometimes, that God will do what He said He will do. But you can trust God and you can take Him at His word. He's not a man that He should lie. And when He says in the word that He will do this, when He says in the word that He will heal us, when He says in the word that He will deliver us, then He will do these things. But we need to access that by faith, by going to Him. Go to Him first. Remember the Lord. And Psalm 34 verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. This is our God. He wants to save us out of every bad situation. There's no situation where the Lord says, well, I think you deserve that. I'm just going to let you go for a little while. No. Jesus already paid the price for all of our sin. There's not one sin that He said, okay, I'm dying for everything except this one sin that one guy is going to do. And when he's in that tough spot and when he's getting killed, you know, whatever they say there, when he's going through that tough time and he comes to me, I'm going to say, sorry, I can't help you. No, Jesus paid for every sin. He paid for every sin. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Who are the righteous? That's everyone who's come to Christ. Everyone who's received salvation by faith. Many other afflictions. We will go through difficulty, people, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. He's faithful in that way, and sometimes we don't believe Him for that. I'm going through a tough time now, but the Lord's just not coming through for me. Nonsense. I must ask myself, am I cooperating here? Am I running to Him? You know, am I really applying the word in this situation? And more often than not, we'll find we're not doing that. Our lives are in a mess because we've not obeyed the word of the Lord. Okay, so we need to get that right. Because the Lord is faithful, and like any good father, He doesn't like seeing His children suffer. And He already paid the ultimate price that we don't need to suffer. But we have an enemy who brings suffering. But the Lord has already given us victory that we can apply in that time and we can break free from that. And He's just waiting there. He says, I've already made it possible for you to escape this. Just apply the blood of Christ. Apply the blood of Christ. Come to me. Come in faith. I'll deliver you. And that's what we need to do. So finally, He says, fight. Fight for your family. Fight for your home. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord who's great and awesome. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Okay, now build this wall. And so what they did was they had half of the men taken up weapons, and they had the other half building the wall. And those that were carrying stones along and other implements and so on, they had a weapon in the one hand and the building material in the other hand. And so they carried on. So they were obedient to the Lord's mandate, and they were building that wall, and they armed themselves and they were ready to fight. And they had a trumpeter, trumpeteer. When the enemy would attack, then they would blow the trumpet at that place, and then everyone would run to that place, and they would help each other. They would fight for each other, for their families, and they would fight for their city that the Lord had given them. And so often, we resign to the will of the enemy and to the destruction that the enemy brings in our lives. And we kind of take it lying down. And we're not prepared to fight. And we allow the enemy to destroy a piece of the wall down there. And we're not running to cover that area. And I'm talking about in our own lives now. We're just allowing the enemy to steal certain parts of our life and certain parts of our future and certain things that the Lord wants to give to us. The Lord has an inheritance for each of us. If you want to liken that to the city of Jerusalem, you must be prepared to fight for that. And it's going to take courage to stand up. And it's going to take you arming yourself and continuing to walk in that way in order to get that inheritance. But you need to stay vigilant because the enemy is out to get us. But the Lord is on our side. And when we stay vigilant and we stay close to the Lord, there's going to be battles, but we're going to win those battles. And you're going to claim your inheritance, and you're going to get your city that the Lord has for you. When you stand up and fight. You know, a Christian, there's such a perception within the church, also outside of the church. But it's wrong when it's in the church that Christians think that Christians are weak. That Christians think that Christians are doormats. I'm just meant to be. Meekness means you can walk all over me. And you can tell me what to do, you know, whether this is what God wants for me or not, and I'll just have to do it because I'm a kind Christian and whatever. No. Jesus died, and the last thing that he said before he ascended was that he has given us the authority that he came to earth with. He has given it to us. And now we must go and do his work. A person of authority is not a person of weakness. And we need to realize that the Lord has called us as soldiers. And that's why we can read in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. I just want to close with that portion of scripture there. I want you to pay attention. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Okay, where does our strength come from? It doesn't say be strong in yourself. Be strong in the gym. It says be strong in the Lord. Okay? You guys know how to get strong in the Lord. Spend time with him. Spend time in his word. You can't be strong in the Lord if you don't ever come to the Lord. And in the strength of his might. Put on. Say put on. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up, say take up. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You see there, put on, take up. This demands cooperation from us. That is not a couch potato Christian that is getting spoken to there. And guess what? That there is for each one of us here as well. There is an enemy, and if we're sitting on the couch, if we're not vigilant, if we're not prepared for battle, if we don't realize we are in a spiritual war, we are, guess what, going to get taken out. But it demands our cooperation. We need to get up. We need to put on. We need to take up cooperation. Okay? A little bit of work, but it's not hard work. It's not difficult because the power, the strength, the might is from who? Verse 10, the Lord. Not your own. It's the Lord. All the Lord wants is you to just man up, step up to the plate, present yourself, make yourself available, be aware, be vigilant. You have an enemy. Sorry to say, if you thought, I've given my life to Jesus, plain sailing from here on in. Sorry, need a wake-up call. If that has been your reality since you gave your life to Christ, you probably haven't been with Christ for a long time. Because if you have been, you will know that even as Christians, we go through tough times, and you can just ask some of the others here. We go through tough times. But guess what? We haven't turned back. We haven't turned away from the Lord when times got tough, because we know that knowing the Lord is so much better. So much better. Despite some difficulty, it's so much better than not knowing the Lord. Because even in the troubled times, you can still have a joy and a peace that transcends understanding. It is abnormal to have peace and joy when you're going through a difficult time. Most people that we encounter that maybe don't know the Lord, and when they go through a difficult time, man, it shows on their face. You can hear it through what they say. You can see it in their body language and everything. As nilakani, there's zero joy, zero peace. People become wrecks. Okay? As a Christian, we can go through a difficult time rejoicing. I mean, that is the ultimate, that you can actually get to that place where you can rejoice, because you say, hallelujah, I'm going through a difficult time, but I know God's going to get me through it, and I know He's even going to use this to make me stronger. So praise God. Satan, try your best. You're not going to get the better of me. Okay? Amen? Put on, take up, and then stand. We need to stay standing. No couch potatoes. Stay standing. And shoes for your feet. As shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, you can clearly see there's a picture painted here of a soldier, fully armed, ready for battle. And that is applicable to each one of us. Because why? We are in a war. Every Christian is in a war. Not only some Christians. Not only preachers. All of us. And trust me, I feel the battle. I experience it. If you don't believe it, come talk to me. I'm in a battle. And you're also in a battle. But we've got to man up. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now that is how we effect our warfare. The battle is won on your knees, so to speak. This is the way that we conquer the enemy. It's in the Spirit. Our enemy is spiritual. You're not going to be able to beat him up with your hands. If a Satanist runs at you with a knife to seriously hurt you, okay, and they're coming with some little demon power or whatever, trust me, our God is stronger. And I defy you to tell that person to stand still and stop in the name of Jesus and to see what will happen. You say that in faith, that person's going to stop. You try and attack that person in the natural and fisticuffs, you're going to get hurt, and that person's going to get hurt. And guess what? Jesus loves you and Jesus loves that person. But that person is operating out of a wrong spirit, and that person needs salvation. That person needs to know the love of Jesus. Okay? The battle is in the spirit. The weapons of our warfare, prayer. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God. Applying those in faith, knowing that God will come through. God is true to His Word. Important. Very important. You're a soldier. And the Bible says in Romans 8, you are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. You see, too many believers in this day and age going through life as victims. Victims of our circumstances. oh, the enemy is getting the better of me. He's so strong and whatever. And we ascribe glory to Satan because we've just rolled over and died. And that is not how a believer operates. We operate in faith. Our God is stronger. And if our God is for us, what can be against us? Our God has called us more than conquerors. We are victorious through Jesus Christ because we share in His victory. We become co-heirs. We are God's children. We're family. And our Father looks after us. We need to appropriate and apply that victory that Christ won for us at the cross. Jesus Christ conquered sin and death at the cross. We need feel no guilt. We need be afraid of nothing. The believer who is walking with God, obeying the Lord, is indestructible as long as we still have a purpose to fulfill. Indestructible. And I'm pretty sure once we fulfill that purpose, Lord will be gracious to us. So, you know, it's funny that movie Fireproof, great movie, especially for the marrieds or the want to get married, watch that movie, it's great. It's at the one point, the guy is a believer, a fireman, and they rescue a lady that was stuck in a car wreck on a train track, and there was a train coming, and they actually lifted the car just in time before the train went past. And the guy, when they got back to the fire station, he just sat down there, and one of the other guys asked, but why do you look kind of exhausted and whatever, and you know, aren't you a believer? Aren't you meant to like just be all tough the whole time or whatever? And he said, so the guy's like, but you know, are you afraid of dying or something? He's like, no, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to get hit by a train. Okay, I don't want to go being hit by a train. So yeah, there's certain things that I've mentioned to the Lord, certain ways that I don't really want to die. But you know, if it comes to that, who cares? You go to a better place. But we don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of death or anything. For the Christian, eternal life has already begun on earth. And this is the closest that we're going to get to hell. So praise God, it just gets better and better. And that's a sad thing. For the unbeliever, this is the closest they get to heaven. And that's a whole different picture. And that's sad. That's why we need to go out. We mustn't be afraid. When the people come for us, we must engage them in love. We need to be ready. We need to be like soldiers armed and ready. In prayer, you even know that guy is coming for you before he even turns around the corner and you see him. You already know. You're prepared. How many times, you know, haven't we prayed? You've prayed in the morning and the Lord has kind of dropped something in your spirit. There's something, you know, something's going to happen. And then something happens that day, like something out of the ordinary. And you actually, it's like the Lord warned you before the time and you were ready for it. And you know, because you had that time with the Lord and you were semi-prepared for it, you responded to that thing in a completely different way from what you would have if you didn't have that time with the Lord. I mean, that happens, eh? So many times. The Lord is faithful. And so we need to be ready. We need to be armed. We need to man up. And we don't go through life as victims. We share in the victory of Christ. And we are not weak Christians. Don't let anyone tell you that. Because our leader, Jesus Christ, was not weak when he volunteered and obediently went to the cross, got whipped and beaten, crown of thorns, nails through the hands and feet, hanging on the cross. That is not a weak person that will say yes to that. But he prayed and he asked God the night before, Lord, do I need to go through with this? And the Lord said yes. And he said, okay, That is not weakness. And that is our leader. That is the one we are following. That is the one we are trying to imitate. Don't come tell me I'm weak. I'll just point you to Christ and say, is that a picture of weakness? No. That's a picture of strength. And you know what? Satan thinks that's weak. Satan thought, ah. Satan was the one punishing Jesus there. And he thought, ah, finally, I've had the better of him. I've won. No. Jesus descended to the pits of hell, and he came out raised from the dead. He made a public spectacle of Satan and all his demons, and he has won for eternity. Our God is risen, and we can share in that risen life. It's a life of victory. It's a victorious life. It's a new way of existence. Most of the world roll with the punches. They just fall left and right. Whichever way the wind blows, it's blowing them over. A Christian can stay standing. And so we need to start living that. If we're not living that, no one else is going to want that. And we want everyone to experience what we can experience. But we need to start living that. We need to start living victoriously. We need to start manning up. We need to start realizing day to day we're in a battle and we need our armor. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready for any eventuality because the Lord wants to use us in people's lives. Okay. So some of us have to sort out, like Nehemiah, the wall first. We need to go and take a look again. Take stock. And this you can do on a weekly basis, people, really. Because guess what? We have great intentions and we make plans to do stuff. To do stuff better and do stuff right. And guess what? A week later, we've already got it wrong. Or we've forgotten about it. Or whatever the case may be. And we need to just get up again. Man up again. Get back on our horse and do it right. Just keep trying. Never give up. The Christian is one who never gives up. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord. Why do we need to keep remembering the Lord? Because sometimes we forget. Because time goes on and more stuff happens. No, it's a daily walk. And every so often we must just take stock again and see where's there breaches and gaps in the wall. Where has the wall started crumbling that I just built up the other day? But I've neglected that and the enemy started coming in there again. I must go back there and I must fix that. Okay, and I'm speaking figuratively here. So we need to take stock. And we need to make sure we apply God's victory in every part of our lives. That we walk in faith in all those areas. That we stand tall. Stand firm. Put on, take up, stand. And having done everything, stay standing. Never giving up. Never forgetting God. Never giving up. Never being afraid. Do not fear. You are victorious. Amen. Amen. Praise. Praise God. Let's stand together. What I want to do, if I can ask the ushers, somebody. Ralph, would you help Leslie and Tian, to help Leslie and Karina there with communion? We're going to have communion together. So we can just pass that around. Ina, you may share now as they're handing out the communion.
I actually came to church and I thought I would like to share something else, but then I didn't feel the Holy Spirit quickening my spirit, so I didn't share it. And then eventually now I've got really a heartbeat and compelling by the Spirit to tell something that I actually purposed in my heart not to tell anyone. But I just feel that I feel I need to share it. When Clint was here to preach a few weeks ago, I sat in the chair and I started getting angry in the Spirit. I was praying in the Spirit and I was starting to get angry, like offended. I felt like Fred May sometimes says, I feel like offending someone here. So I felt like that. So I got up and it got more urgent. So I went to the back room where the TV is. And the minute I stepped into the room, it was like I was in the best way to say it, I was in a ninja battle. It wasn't just a battle where I sat and prayed. I closed the door and I actually had to also physically point to certain areas where I could feel in the spirit. Fortunately, I couldn't see the demonic attack. but I could feel it, that there were things coming in. I had to pray for the remainder of that. I only felt a release at the very end of that sermon. So I prayed in the spirit, and I really went into battle. And I physically also had to get into it in a way. But I knew that there was an attack, and it wasn't just one abstract thing I was praying for. It was literally a physical entities coming into, wanting to come into the church. So I just kept on praying. But I knew, as I was standing there, I knew that this is quite dangerous, actually, physically. I knew that I, in my back of my mind, I just knew that I had the conviction and the surety and the complete courage that an angel of the Lord was with me, and that the Lord was with me, and I'm doing this on behalf of the Lord, and I could stand strong in that. I didn't need to waver at that, and I knew that, because the Lord says in Revelation that there's an angel appointed to every church, because he says that he's got the stars and there's an angel as well. Anyway, I think why the Lord wants me to share this, which I actually didn't want to share to anyone, I haven't told really anyone, is that I want us to be aware of the fact that even when we're sitting here being semi-bored for 5 minutes or listening or thinking, you know, there's actually really a spiritual activity going on around us. I'm not gifted to see angels and demons. I've asked the Lord if I could see an angel. Apparently, it's even more scary than seeing a demon. But I can't see them. But we are really actually living in that physical thing. It's not just a nice, not only just a nice feeling and coming to church and doing it because you should come to church. So I just want to impart that to you. Okay.
What I'd like us to do just before we take the communion is to just make a few declarations over our lives and in the spiritual realm, just in agreement with what I've said tonight. As the Lord says, you know, He won it all for us. The work is finished. We can share in that victory. And just sometimes, maybe not perpetually, but sometimes we fall back into that kind of victim mentality. And we just kind of roll with the punches, and we just allow life circumstances and so on to get the better of us. And we fail to take up that victory and to walk in authority and to take control over that situation. See, and so that's just something we need to come to terms with, and I just would like us to declare that over our lives. So, if you'll just repeat after me, you know, and if you say it with your heart in it while you're speaking, then it's going to benefit you. I mean, anyone can repeat after anyone anything, but, you know, believe what you're saying. And then it's going to start changing the climate in your life. And some of us need to, maybe in this week, every day, you need to declare similar, just make similar declarations over your life so that you can kind of just cement that truth in your life. Okay, so here we go. Thank you, Jesus, that I can share in your victory. Thank you for your blood, Lord, and your body that was broken for me. And so now, Lord, I choose to have a change of heart and a change of mind. And I declare that I am victorious. I am no longer a victim of my circumstances. I'm not at the mercy of Satan, but I am more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror. Satan has been defeated. He has no control over my life. Jesus, you are my king. And I share in your victory. I am victorious. I will determine my circumstances. I will not fall into self-pity. I will not fall into depression. I will not fear. But I believe. I believe in you, Jesus. That you are for me. And that you are greater than anything in this world. Or anything of the enemy. I believe in you, Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's raise a shout to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your body. Thank you for what you did for us at the cross. We remember tonight, Lord. We remember what you did for us. We know that you're always with us, Lord. That you have won our salvation for us. And that through you, we are more than conquerors. Thank you for your body, Lord. Let's break and eat the bread. And Jesus, we praise you for your blood that was shed for us. Your blood that speaks a better thing. In your blood we find life. In your blood lies protection and salvation. Like the Israelites that painted their doorposts with lamb's blood so the angel of death would pass over. Lord, we apply your blood to our lives and we thank you for your divine protection. We thank you that you give your angels charge over us. We thank you that you are with us. You are the good shepherd and you are looking after us. And our faith and our trust is in you, Lord. We will not fear, but we will respond in faith, no matter what the challenge or the circumstance, Lord. We believe. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Let's drink together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment, just enjoy the presence of the Lord for a few moments. Thank you, Lord, for your word that says that the hope we have doesn't disappoint. It does not put us to shame because of the love that you have shed abroad in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Your Spirit dwells in us, Lord. That is the down payment of the hope we have of eternal life and to be with you for an eternity. So we can know, Lord, that you are for us. And I just speak that measure of love, Lord, a revelation of that love. I just speak just ability and a capacity to experience your love and to apply that love in order to cast out fear. I just say to those that fear losing their jobs, I just speak faith to them now. I speak faith to you. I declare the love of God for you is perfect, and you need not fear that. He loves you so much. You're worth so much more than the birds of the sky to Him, and He will look after you. Your provider, your source, is not your boss. Your source is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I speak to those that fear getting ill or sick, and whatever complications that might be. And I just declare to you, the Lord Jehovah Rapha, He's your healer. You need not be afraid. Whatever the enemy throws at you, the Lord is far greater. You do not need to be afraid. We do not need to live in fear. But you can live by faith in the one who calls himself the great I Am. He is with you. He is who he says he is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's the promise maker and he's the promise keeper. That is our God. I just bless this congregation with faith. I bless this congregation with faith. Receive faith in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for a measure of faith to come over each one here, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Bless us with greater faith, Lord. In Jesus' name, we believe in you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. And we just thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done here in our midst tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that we leave here stronger. We leave here knowing that you are with us. Knowing that we don't leave you behind here, but you go with us. And you go before us. Thank you, Lord, you are before us and behind us, alongside us, over and above us and below us. You are everywhere and you are in us, Lord. And there's nowhere we can go, no place of business, no work, nowhere we can go, no hospital, nowhere where you are not there, where we cannot experience you, where we cannot access you, we cannot cry out to you, where we cannot stand in the authority that you have given us. There's nowhere on this earth where your love fails. Your love never fails. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.